Bret Baier, Fox News Channel, is standing by. And now Trump had a, the poll numbers, like we said, nationally, I think it's his highest ever, isn't it?
Hey, guys, yeah. The Monmouth national poll has him at 41%. Second place at 14%. It's pretty wild. That poll is the latest national one out today. There's a poll, Wall Street Journal NBC poll, that has Trump up by, I think, 4 over Ted Cruz. And then there's a whole bunch of polls coming out of Iowa that are either Ted Cruz leading or Donald Trump leading. One of them, a respected Des Moines Register poll, has Cruz up by 10 in Iowa. So you've got a bunch of different polls. The Monmouth is definitely the most eye-catching because of that 41% number.
Mm-hmm. Big number.
Yeah, yeah, very big number. And now that Monmouth poll, I believe, was taken in the after the Muslim ban.
It was.
All right. So, and as we thought last week, you know, again, he defies all the rules of political gravity, which means that those rules aren't very, it's not like real physics, is what it turns out to be. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we're missing something here. And I think in the last week, you've seen Republicans, you know, sort of your mainstream Republicans, and even conservative Republicans, who do not see Donald Trump as conservative, but have seen, by being faithfully conservative, that early people who are very doctrinal about issues of conservative thought and of the Constitution and stuff like that do well leading up into these primaries. I mean, that has been the history. It was the history in 2012, 2008, going back, right? So now all of a sudden you got a guy who's not really doctrinal about that, but reflecting frustration and anger and speaking out in really general but bold and like, I'm going to take, you know, kick their ass kind of, you know, tough guy language, mm-hmm. strongman language, that seems to be ruling the day. And I mean, what do you make of that?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One is there's anger about Washington on both sides of the aisle, that it's just not working. And they, a lot of people in both parties say, let's blow it up and get somebody in there to shake things up. And two, now post Paris and San Bernardino, the number one issue facing people, according to every national poll, is terrorism. In Gallup, in Associated Press, 7 out of 10 people believe there will be another terrorist attack like San Bernardino in coming weeks and months. And that has created anxiety. And a strong leader, or at least someone who talks tough, probably is getting a different look.
Now, the other piece of this is that the president today went to the microphones at the Pentagon and talked about meeting with his advisors, military advisors, and acknowledging. Actually, I think that for the first time, he confirmed that Jihadi John had been killed. It had been long speculated. It was about 6 weeks ago, I think it was, but it had never been confirmed by the United States. Today they confirmed that, and that they are actively seeking to blow up oil wells that they believe, that the United States and the coalition believes, are being held by ISIS and are funding some of this action. Now, isn't that Trump, the interesting thing about that is Trump's doing a victory lap on it. I was the first guy to tell you that. Do you think that this stuff was already sort of in motion, or are they responding to the politics of the moment thinking, oh, we better get tougher?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I do think that the president's, you know, his first reaction to Paris was largely panned by even people in his own party when he talked out in Turkey. Then he had another speech. Then he had the Sunday primetime speech that largely got panned, saying, what's new in this? And then he's out today at the Pentagon, also getting criticized for no real change in strategy in the fight against ISIS. And there are still some people who say things aren't happening, like targets aren't being given to our allies, so they don't have anything to drop bombs on in Syria. The Kurds still aren't getting weapons and material from the U.S. directly. And so there's a lot of criticism about how the administration is playing this. What has been interesting is, because of the Donald Trump phenomenon and all the press that surrounds it, escaping criticism is Hillary Clinton, who is not being asked, you know, directly, what do you think about the president's ISIS plan? How would you be different? And that sort of thing is kind of under the radar.
Donald Trump's doctor has spoken.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Have you seen the picture of the guy?
The doctor?
Yeah.
No.
He kind of has a Trump look to him.
Oh, same hair?
I am.
A little bit. He's got a...
I am in no way.
I got to see this. I'm
no way out. Surprised by that. Are you sure it is not actually Donald Trump?
Oh, my gosh. He's got several hairstyles. One has got like sort of a shaggy surfer guy look. He's got the John Lennon glasses on. And then one's got kind of a combed down long look. It looks like a wig.
But he testifies that Donald Trump is the healthiest. If he becomes president, he'll be the healthiest president of all presidents.
And he knows that.
Sure how he knows that.
Yes.
I don't know if he was Jefferson's, internist.
He's definitely the right doctor for Trump if he said that, though.
Let me just want to ask everybody, you're a great journalist, Brett, so you could certainly
pass
on this if you want to. But, I mean, if like 3 years ago, we sat down and we were told this is what it was going to be. We were shown a movie of this, including now the picture of the doctor who says that Donald Trump is going to be the healthiest president of all times. We'd think the whole thing was a put on. We'd think that this was something, that this would be some sort of Funny or Die skit that's going on. We wouldn't actually believe what's going on. And Donald Trump says, we're going to ban all Muslims from entering the country, and his poll numbers go up. You go, no.
Yeah, I think it's made up.
Saturday Night Livian is almost what's happening here.
I mean, listen, there are a lot of people in Washington who say, first of all, every place you go to, every holiday party, every Christmas party, everything is all they want to ask you. That's all they want to talk about is Trump, the phenomena of Trump, what happens with Trump. And I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. It is a bit surreal that we're in this spot. What I think will be interesting tomorrow night is the CNN debate. Trump again center stage, but next to him, Ted Cruz, who is now his main challenger in Iowa and throughout the primary.
What do you make of Ben Carson sort of tanking, and I guess for lack of a better word, and that then Trump and Cruz rising the way he has? Just it seems somewhat suddenly to me. What do you think about that, Brett?
Well, I think it ties directly with this concern about terrorism, foreign policy, and he's had a slow start on some of that stuff, and he acknowledges it. And he's spoken to Jewish groups and pronounced Hamas wrong and did some things that really made people think twice about his foreign policy expertise. And then his tone and tenor of delivering remarks is kind of quiet and reserved. And I don't know if that's selling right now in the GOP primary.
Well, you don't have that on the other side. But I think it goes down to this issue of competency, too. And I think that people do see the people who support Trump. And we all hear it, right?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I can just imagine, Brett, as you travel or you're in an airport or you're wherever you are and people come up to you and they want to talk about this, you'll hear people settle up to you and go, I really like what he's got to say. People like him because they assume he's competent. He'll blow stuff up and he'll know how to fix it. Well, Washington does not run like a corporation, and that's always been the fallacy of this idea of, I wish America ran more like a business. Well, it doesn't, because because governments do, as part of their job, they have to take care of certain things, whether it's the roads or the total free market thing. It's a lovely idea in principle, but it would be pretty bad to rework it. I mean, look what happened with healthcare and how screwed up that is. Imagine that you want to touch the entire relationship between government and business and government and federal government, and local governments, and all that, and then tamper with that. I mean, it just seems to me that it's a little, no matter how competent he's perceived to be.
Mm-hmm.
This is, it's not a benevolent dictatorship. It is, it requires a lot of working with Capitol Hill, which is interesting because, Trump sells himself as the CEO and this brilliant mind of who rightfully so has a very successful business. His latest attack against Cruz is that Cruz went into the Senate and became in his words, a maniac and didn't get along with people, and his own colleagues don't like him. That's just interesting from Donald Trump to be saying...
calling somebody else a maniac.
Yeah, to call somebody a maniac. And
pot kettle stuff,
yeah,
right?
Ted Cruz came back on Twitter and said, thanks, Donald Trump, and tweeted out the video to Flashdance, Maniac.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is the world in which we live in.
Right? It is.
Gosh,
all right.
An interesting debate.
Brett, have a good afternoon. And
we'll see you guys.
Can start seeing Brett just in a few minutes here, actually in about 35 minutes. Thank you, Brett, on Special Report on the Fox News Channel. All right. Whew. I don't know what to make of it. 41%.
41%, yeah, likely voters. Want Trump. That's what they want.
Yeah.
Increase
Republican voters.
Republican voters.
That's an important
Republican
point.
Republican likely voters, right? Yeah. Very important point.